You ready?
You're listening to Design Yourself, a podcast to help you figure out what it is that you want and then make it happen. I'm Sharon Lepofsky. Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 38 of Design Yourself. I am your host, Sharon, and today I am so delighted to introduce you to Clara Mugley Toiloy. Clara is the mom and entrepreneur behind Fuzzy Logic Wool, which is a craft company that produces the most beautiful, handmade, sustainable clothing and cloth diapers for infants and toddlers. All of the pieces are exquisite, and each piece is made of upcycled materials. So for those of us who are interested in zero waste and how do you take something that's been tossed away and make it into something beautiful and new again, there is this added bonus with the mission and spirit behind the garments that Clara is producing. I will be sure to share in the show notes a photo of my very sweet one-month-old Iggy sporting his Fuzzy Logic pants. As always, you can find show notes over at pointroadstudios.com/podcast. So something fun to see there. So let me tell you a little bit about Clara before we dive in. She and I met many moons ago at a mutual friend's bachelorette campout. So this was not your everyday bachelorette party. This was us camping out. Some of us got to actually sleep in a cabin. My hand is raised for that. Others were out under the stars. And we were literally in the cornfields of Iowa, just outside of Decorah. Super fun. Wedding and the bachelorette campout in advance was great, largely because I got to meet my college friends, dear friends from high school and childhood, and Clara was one of them. And I was so happy that through this interview process, I had a chance to get her, to know her better. So you will get to learn a lot about her today. She is a fascinating person. She's a seamstress, an environmental advocate, mom, maker, landscape designer, and generally all-around creative person. And in today's interview, you're going to get to hear about her own experience of being in the very early stages of starting her business, Fuzzy Logic Wool. And you'll hear us talk about a myriad of things, anything from the power of starting small when you want to launch something new, whether it's a project or a business or a general initiative. You'll hear us talk about parenting. We both have very young children, and we talk about how parenting forces us into the present moment. You'll hear about the difference between being an artist versus being a creative person, in Clara's opinion. And also things like how fear has a funny way of showing up when we are about to do something that we really want, and how it can show up in funny ways. You know, we can think about fear as showing up with like a pit in our stomach, but I think Clara does a great job of bringing up other ways that it can show up, including logic and reasoning. So anyway, lots of good things as we dive in today, and let us just go ahead and jump into the show. Hello, and I am super excited, Clara, to have you on the podcast today. Just to set a little bit of context for our listeners, Clara Mugley Toiloy, who is the founder of Fuzzy Logic Wool, an amazing baby wear and cloth diapering company that you can find on Etsy and other places that she'll share with us. So, very excited. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
So I am very curious to hear, you know, really what got you to where you are today with Fuzzy Logic Wool. Like, what was your path?
Well, I guess most directly was having a baby, and I was doing cloth diapering. And I've always been passionate about environmentalism, and I was an environmental studies major in undergrad. And that was something that has just kind of informed my life choices and always been a part of what I strive for. So offhandedly, somebody one day mentioned that you could take an old sweater and make it into a diaper cover, which sounded amazing. So I started combing thrift stores and just learned more about the properties that wool has that are really incredible. And so I just started making little cute things for my daughter and couldn't get enough of how her little bum looked in these really soft little items. And just kind of got addicted to it, made more and more, and then eventually did a craft fair and had good reaction, sent a million things to friends, and just over time ended up with way more than I knew what to do with. So I finally just launched my Etsy shop about a month ago.
Awesome. So as somebody who has gone through cloth diapering with two young children, can you, and hearing it sounds like you actually started making these after your daughter was born. So it wasn't something. Right. Okay. So with that in mind, how could you do that when you had a brand new baby? Where, to like, talk to me about like how I'm honestly curious, how did that fit into your day? When you're describing it, I'm thinking that seems crazy. Like, where would I fit that into my life at that point? So how did that work?
Well, the lovely thing about a newborn is they kind of like lie there and just hang out with you. So yeah. That was actually a lot easier than now when I have two active toddlers. Mm-hmm. Starts to get really, really hard to sort of squeeze in anything for yourself, much less like a whole new business when you already have another job.
Yes.
So, but yeah, with the baby, it was just sort of, you know, you can sew in little spurts. And I like this particular process because I sort of do a little stint of cutting things and pieces, and then I do a label making stint, and then I'll do some spreadsheets, and then I'll sew a few seams so I can really break it up, which is like how everything has to be done when you have young children.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I agree. Will you share how old are your children now?
My daughter's 2.5, and my son just turned 1 on Friday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah.
That's great. And so that, if I'm doing the math correctly, which I could not be, but assuming I'm doing it correctly, so you've been making these now for about 2.5 years, and it's
right.
Just in the last month that you formally launched an online platform, although you've been actually out there selling it for longer.
Yeah, I've only done 3 craft art fairs mm-hmm. so far, but so that's really been the only way I've actually been selling mm-hmm. and then just giving them as gifts and making them for friends.
Yeah. As somebody who's done 1 craft fair, I'm thinking it's not only 3.
No,
like
I know.
A bigger deal.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, so you launched into it that way. And then, so that was, it sounds like, the most obvious way in. You have a daughter. And then talk to me about, like, what else do you see, kind of, if anything, that's coming in and influencing your interest in doing this work?
Well, I've been a seamstress since I was 12. My mom kind of taught me to sew the basics, and then I took off, and she doesn't even sew really anymore, but I just have been doing it ever since. I made all of my own clothes. Well, not all of my own clothes, but many of my own clothes for years, and just always been interested in creating things. And mm-hmm. I've never really embraced the word artist for myself, but more of crafter. So I enjoy making, you know, gifts for friends or greeting cards or things like that. Mm-hmm. But specifically the upcycling portion of Fuzzy Logic, I think, was really important to me. It kind of finally everything clicked together because I, as an environmental studies major and a passionate environmental advocate, I just get so depressed like thinking about how much stuff is out there. And I'm a thrift store shopper, and I just see how much stuff there is that nobody wants. It's really, really overwhelming when you... when you start to think about it. So the thought that I could actually create and make something new, but not using new materials, was really made me feel good that I could sort of create something new without actually it being new. And it kind of just made it more special and also more sustainable. So
yes,
that's really what makes the business make sense to me. If I was going to start mass producing something and get it made in China, I would not feel that I was doing what I wanted to be doing anymore. So
yeah,
the fact that it's all handmade and small and repurposed is really what makes it important to me.
Yeah, so. That's beautiful. And I have to just say, as somebody who's anticipating the arrival at the time of recording, baby number 3, that it has totally been my mantra as I've gone through the nesting process, which I have fully leaned into
yes.
this go around. I'm like, let's do it, honey. But the thing that has really struck me is I've said the whole time, I want to acquire nothing new. And I just, mm-hmm. and I want to use what we have to, and just remake it into something that works in this scenario. So what you're describing, mm-hmm. I'm like, yes, I feel it. You know, it's all of the Marie Kondo and Bea Johnson and her, you know, zero waste lifestyle, like this whole movement mm-hmm. that's happening around when we can untangle ourselves and really release ourselves from the burden of stuff. There's mm-hmm. huge things that are possible. And so I love that as a mission. And when I have seen your product, you know, seeing you post on Facebook and looking through your Etsy shop, which is awesome, I thought, wow, like it does, when you just look at the product, it's not like, oh, this looks like used stuff or something that's old. It looks like it looks like a new, beautiful thing that you'd find in a fancy children's boutique somewhere. And it's something that started in the thrift store as somebody else's throwaway. So mm-hmm. I think that's so cool. Oh, awesome. Well, tell me about, so you've got these two little ones, also 2.5-in-1, more power to you. That is amazing. Talk to me about like how does this fit into your life in terms of, you know, I know we talked about this a little bit ahead of time, but in terms of how much time are you spending on this? Like to what purpose is it serving in your life? You know, are you looking to like grow this empire? Clearly you're not looking to outsource to China, but like how do you see this work fitting into the broader span of your life?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I feel I have no idea if it's what I will be doing in 5 years, but it felt like a really natural sort of thing to start doing. And listening to your podcast over the past weeks, I've been feeling really inspired about that too. Just like your idea of just start small and do something. And that's how it felt really was, I have all these lofty dreams of how I'll combine all of my interests and my skills as a garden designer and as a, you know, an edible gardener and as a mother and a maker of all sorts of crafts, and how I will somehow create this profession that combines all of these things, and my life will be this perfectly balanced, orchestrated thing. Mm-hmm. I guess, so that aside, it was sort of like, well, this is what I can do right now. I have boxes full of little adorable pants, and what Etsy is a great, easy platform for kind of starting small, because you can just put out there what you have right mm-hmm. now and sell it as it sells. And so I felt really good about just kind of taking that little tiny step in and then seeing where it goes, and hopefully it will kind of, things will happen, you know, whether I keep doing that or the next thing becomes clear. But
yeah, I love that. And I'm curious how this lands for you, but for me, one of the things I find in parenting young children is it forces me very much into the present. You know, I will admit I'm a person who's naturally drawn to looking forward, sometimes to a fault. And I really feel like it's the gift, even if it doesn't always feel like a gift, of this season of my life with young children, that I can't look that far out. You know, if I try and look mm-hmm. out 2 years, I'm like, I have no idea. You know, I remember with my daughter when she was one, I was just thinking about not having to park on a crowded city street to bring groceries in her in. And now I'm like, oh, school. I understand school in a different way now that she's four. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious for you, like, how much do you feel like you're living in the present versus kind of thinking about what comes next or looking back to where you've been coming from?
Yeah, I completely agree with like the fact that parenting just changes all that up, because I just trying to look too far in the future is pretty crazy making. I mean, it's definitely, you have to do it somewhat, but it's just, there's too many moving parts now that there's these, I mean, it's enough with myself, then you bring my husband and partner into it, and then these two little beings who are changing like literally before our eyes. So it's it does help me kind of stay grounded in the moment and just sort of and just rest with the fact that things will change and that we will be okay. You know, mm-hmm. we'll figure it out as we go.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I want to jump back to a distinction that you said earlier. And it was kind of intriguing to me, where you were describing that you've never embraced the term artist for yourself, but crafter was almost like this, mm-hmm. this word that you could stand up and own. And I was wondering for you, like, what's different about the two? Like, what makes you feel like, yeah, crafter, but artist is something that you're not stepping into.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking about that earlier as well when I was kind of preparing for this conversation. But yeah, it's just for some reason I feel like an imposter if I ever use the word artist about myself. And I always admire people who can sort of embrace that word. I feel like saying creative person, I can own that, you know, and crafter, yeah. Definitely. I'm totally a crafter. But somehow artist has this cachet that it's like certain art for its own sake, you know, perhaps like less the functional items that I make. So I guess that's the distinction. I've done a couple. I did one of the sort of fairs I did was an art fair, not a craft fair. And I was like racked with indecision about whether I should do it or whether it would be arty enough. But then I felt like once I was there, I was just embraced by everyone. And, you know, it was like, oh, your medium is textile or, you know, fiber. And so I felt very like accepted, but I still would just probably prefer to say a creative person.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. I will confess there was this one. I remember right after I graduated from college, I was living in New Orleans at the time. This is pre-Hurricane Katrina. So it's this like the city was super vibrant as it still is today. But I was down in Midtown meeting a friend that I had recently met, and he was somebody who would describe himself as an artist. I mean, right off the bat, that, you know, he was this artist person. And I was going to meet him and his sister, who was also an artist, and she's selling skirts that she made out of pillowcases, and it's this, you know, in some back courtyard that you feel like you have to have a special knock to get into. I hadn't lived in New Orleans at all. My family had moved there while I was a senior in college, and so I was totally out of my element. And I remember one of the other vendors looks at me with these two, and he's like, "So, are you an artist?" And I thought, "Oh God, I don't know. I want to say yes, but I don't think I can say yes. And you know, I'm feeling very out of my league." So I'm a full believer of if it's a term that you want to embrace, and I'm not getting that feeling for you with artists, then like, yeah, own it. You know, like I have not trained as a quote unquote designer, and I, for me, that term in the work that I do really works for me. But I think kind of thinking about what are the names we can attach to is so real. So it's fun to hear how you're thinking about it. Yeah. And the other thing that I wanted to say, and this is kind of a funny set of connections, is a baby wear designer who just happens to be, she was someone who worked in baby design most of her career. And she went to an Etsy conference. This is probably, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago at this point. And I remember she came back from it and she was describing to me, I think it was in New York at the time. And she said, "It was so amazing. They started the conference by saying we're all makers." And in that sense, I thought, yeah, like if I look at all the people I interact with and children, you know, people who are retiring, my friends, you know, we are all makers. And that has also stuck with me as a, you know, to kind of think about, well, what is the thing that we're making? And it reminds me back to, I think, that beautiful thing you were saying at the beginning about the power of creating versus just, say, consuming. So anyway, lots of tangents. I like it.
A maker. I really like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then something else that I'm super curious about. With having just launched your Etsy shop a month ago, like, what was that like for you? Now you're a month in. Like, what was the experience of putting it onto that platform?
Well, there was just all sorts of unnecessary fear about it beforehand. And then once I did it, it was really easy. And they have a wonderful platform to actually upload things. And it was super easy. And I got a lot of way more traffic than I expected from people who are not my friends. So I was really happy with that. So yeah, I've been really pleased with it overall. And it's definitely not like some sort of huge launch. You know, it's a cottage industry I have going here. Mm-hmm. So very much. So it's small, and that's how it really needs to be at this point in my life anyway. So that's working just fine for me. But yeah, I was really, yeah, it's been a great thing. I've been excited about it. So keeps me inspired to keep going.
Yeah. God, you're like, keep saying things. And I'm like, oh, I want to ask you about this and this. I'll go with the first thing that jumped out at me is you. I love this phrase that you've used of unnecessary fear. Fear, I feel like, so often comes up when we're about to make a big something. It can be a big transition or a big, you know, leap of faith, whatever it is. And usually people don't accompany it even, you know, just a month in with unnecessary as its precursor. But can you talk a little bit more about, like, what was your sense of that fear and what brought you to be able to say and be able to describe it now as unnecessary?
Well, I think fear can take many forms. Mine is very sneaky because it doesn't necessarily feel like fear, because I'm a very sort of rational thinker, and it takes the form of a lot of rational reasons why I should not do something. Mm-hmm. So I've confronted that many times in my life where I sort of, with lots of logic and lots of facts to back it up, I sort of talk myself out of, like, attempting things. And I sort of, in recent years, have become more aware of it and can kind of catch myself and be like, wait a minute, is that really something that's in your way right now? And part of it is the future looking. If you look too far down the road, you can always come up with a reason why you shouldn't start now. So I think living in the present in many ways does help you, like, free you to move forward into the future. But I guess another catalyst, and this is somewhat cliche, but my husband had a horrible car accident about 2 months ago now, and he's very much okay. He just got a broken ankle. He was really, really lucky because the damage from the vehicle is, like, unbelievable that he walked away the way he did. But it was really, really traumatic, even though he was, like, relatively unharmed. We were sort of processing it as though he had been hurt as much as the car looked like he should have been.
Yeah.
So it was this sort of, like, really intense experience to go through. And I somehow felt like it going through that just unstuck me in some ways. I don't know that that necessarily led to me, like, launching my Etsy shop, because I was probably going to do that anyway. And I had, I had things in place to do that this winter. But it just, I feel like this sort of, like, release after that it just kind of put things in perspective and made me realize that a lot of the things that I'm afraid of are just so silly and so small compared to, like, the real things that are scary but that you can't control, so you can't, like, live in fear of them all the time. And anyway, yeah, that was just sort of something that helped push me along, I feel, to just living in the moment and moving forward and not talking myself out of doing what I want to do.
Yeah. Oh, my heart. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I literally cannot imagine. That is, in fact, just having been away with three girlfriends and all of our husbands were at home with our young children. And we were all thinking, like, yeah, like, if we didn't have them, then what? So my heart is, like, going out to you and your husband and your family, because I can only imagine.
Thank you.
What that experience would be like. And I'm thankful that you shared it, because, yeah, like, those really terrible, like, you don't ever want to have to come into contact with these kinds of things, scenarios, are wake-up calls. And they do remind us what matters most. And I often think of, having lost a sibling 3 years ago, that it's almost like a part of my mission is, I don't want other people to go through that. You know, you don't want your loved ones to be in car accidents or have these things happen. And if you do, to help share the message of, like, yeah, like, forget about the bullshit, like, focus on the stuff that really is important. And so anyway, I think you have said that really well. So thank you for sharing that. I want to hear more about life as a mom in doing this. Like, you know, what,
yes.
I'm trying to imagine I know a one-year-old is no way has any concept of that this is happening, but what do you notice about this interplay for you of having fuzzy logic and having these young children who you're parenting?
Well, for one thing, my daughter, she, she now refuses to model clothes for me, which is super annoying because I'm like, I have two models, like potential models living in my house right now. And like, she doesn't want to ever try on something when I want her to.
But shocking.
She only wants to wear, you know, a dress with sparkles on it and tights all the time. So it's like frustrating trying to like let go of that because like at least my son still lets me dress him and put him in little wool whenever I want.
Yes.
But even he will soon have his own opinions. He's already starting to. So. But let's see. So you mean in terms of just the actual like day-to-day like workflow of trying to create something and be a parent and have another job as well, or more?
Well, maybe we'll go there in a minute, but I'm kind of more thinking like, mm-hmm. Do you notice your daughter is aware that you're out there sewing and she's interested in it? Or is it more like a private time for you? Or, you know, just, mm-hmm. I have literally, as I said before, when you described that you started making cloth diapers with an infant, I'm thinking, this is way outside my concept of what I was doing as a parent. So just like, what does it look mm-hmm. like in practice to be parenting and to be doing this kind of work, and what the kids notice, you notice?
Well, a lot of it is done in the dark of night when they are sleeping, but I do like to sew when my daughter, my son is just, he can't, he's one and he's a monster, so I can't have him really nearby at all when I'm doing it.
Awareness.
my daughter, like, we go down in the basement and I'll sew and she'll sit on my lap and watch, or she'll play near me. And she's really interested in the whole concept. So whenever like one of her little plastic toys falls apart, as they do, things are made so horribly, it seems like, she's like, Mama, can you sew it for me? Can we just sew it back together? So she's really interested in that idea of how I seem to take disparate objects and make them into something new or something workable, which I think it's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
She likes to think everything I make is for her, even if it's like in the baby size, and she sort of, you know, can't understand where it's going if it's not for her and Zeno. But I love two and a half year old logic is really fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. She sounds like a precocious 2.5-year-old to me.
She's very sweet.
That's awesome. Well, let's jump into, I think, this kind of second piece that you introduced of, so I know, and I'll have you share with everyone listening, but I know that you have all these other things that you're doing. So will you talk a little bit about first just what else is going on in your world, professionally and beyond, and then we'll kind mm-hmm. of look at what is it like to hold all those things?
Yeah. Well, yeah, my day job is I'm a residential landscape designer mm-hmm. for a small company. So winter is kind of our slow time. So right now I'm spending a whole lot of time with my children, which is great. But during the busy season, I'm working in an office and I am out in gardens a fair amount, but mostly drawing and designing and working on computer. And I actually do my designing by hand, so that's really fun. But I do like some administrative stuff for them as well, for the company. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my career path that I went back to school after my undergrad. I went back and got a certificate and an associate's degree in landscape design and landscape architecture and landscape horticulture at a community college in California. So, and then I had my own business doing that in California and started with this company when we moved to Minnesota 3 years ago.
Wow.
So that's what I do in the rest of my time. Yeah. And then just being a spouse is in itself, you know, something that takes time and effort, and then being a mother of two. So,
yeah, I believe it. Well, I'm going to jump around here a little bit again, and I want to come back to like all these things mm-hmm. you're holding, but I'm finding myself very intrigued by the fact that, so if you keep me honest, if I've got the trend line correct, but so you studied mm-hmm. Was it environmental science or environmental sustainability?
Studies.
So you did environmental mm-hmm. studies in undergrad.
Yeah.
And then you went off at some point relatively close to that and you went on back to community college to get mm-hmm. the landscape design and architecture background.
Right.
And with that, you, which to me, I'm like, that I can see a total connection between mm-hmm. the two of those, plus all this creative energy that you clearly have had as a theme running in your life. And then from there, you went and launched your own business. Is that right?
Yeah, the landscape design.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I always feel like it's this amazing thing when someone can launch a business and end a business. And I'm curious for you, like, could you talk a little bit about, I guess let's just start with launching it. When you started off with that business, what was that process like? And what were you looking for at that stage of your life, which I'm imagining looked very different than what it looks like today? Yeah.
Well, again, it was similar in that I wasn't exactly sure what I was undertaking, and it wasn't sort of a concrete launching moment, but just kind of started doing some gardening for friends. And then pretty soon I had more and more clients and people are calling. And so just that learning curve of like, okay, now I need to learn how to like make an invoice and get paid for work. So yeah, it was only about 18 months that I did it, but I was able to really get a full-time client base going over that time. And that being said, it is the Bay Area and the growing season is year round. So there's a ton of work in that field. So yeah. I don't know how hard I really had to work to get, to get all that business, but yeah, it was a really good experience and it made me feel like I could really do something. You know, I did this.
Yeah.
Awesome. Then again, it's never as glamorous as it sounds because it's really hard to do all those other things, like besides just the actual landscape design and gardening that I was doing, just the record keeping and scheduling people and like sending out letters asking people to remember that they owed me $400, whatever is, you know, it's kind of nice sometimes when somebody else is doing that stuff. So I have been enjoying now working for somebody else for the last few years when I had these other pieces going on in my life.
Yeah, but. Absolutely. That's the thing when you're, especially when you're a practitioner of one. I was just talking about this with somebody earlier today. You are doing everything, or you're, mm-hmm. or at least you're managing, delegating out to anybody else who you've extended to be a part of your team, even if on, you know, on a small basis. And mm-hmm. it's different. You know, there's some benefits to being inside, you know, benefits and on both sides. But yeah, that makes a ton of sense. What was it like for you to close down that business when you made the move?
You know, it was sad. I mean, I was able to pass on a lot of my business to a friend who was kind of moving toward doing her own thing. She'd been working for someone else. So that was really rewarding to feel like I was kind of helping her like launch herself out into that. I was happy about that and was able to like maintain relationships with some of my clients and things like that. And a few of them gave me connections in the Midwest that they had. So it was all a really positive thing, but it was bittersweet to leave what I had kind of built from knowing nothing to having something that did work, you know?
Yeah.
On a modest scale, but did work.
Yeah, absolutely. Did, you can totally tell me if this is too personal, but the thing that I'm wondering about is, like, was there a certain emotion that you felt like served you in making that transition? Just kind of having this sense of like, it's a big shift. Like you are knowing you're anticipating parenthood and letting letting a place go, letting a business go and stepping into something that's new. And I find that remarkable. And I'm wondering like what served you in that?
Yeah, honestly, it was really scary. It was mostly terrifying. But my husband and I just kind of clung to each other and we felt like we had our own little thing going no matter what, how everything else shook out. And, it was a dark winter when we first moved to Minnesota because it was like that polar vortex year.
Oh man. Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yeah,
where it was like the coldest and I'm pregnant and our dog died and like, oh. I could not find a job at first. And it was just, well, it was winter. It really was winter in every sense. And then spring came and my daughter was born in May. And like, it felt like the buds broke that very week that she was born. And I found this job with this company that I'm still with. They hired me 2 weeks before I gave birth to my daughter, so they knew I was extremely pregnant. Yeah, and so everything just like fell into place as spring broke. And as a gardener, that's, you know, spring is such a like blessed, amazing time. So it felt like very like metaphorical.
Yes.
But I don't know if that quite answered your question, but that's kind of how it felt.
I feel like that's amazing. And I often also think the seasons, you see a lot of those trends. And I think about that a lot of what does it mean to give yourself a time of rest and hibernation mm-hmm. and to come back and grow anew. And at the same time, I'm imagining your winters right now here in January are pretty intense. Just from my mid-Atlantic life, it's feeling intense trying to imagine being where you are. And I'm wondering if what it was like for you launching the new shop amidst this winter season, if that felt, because I'm getting the sense that right now there is all this growth and creative energy that maybe is a contrast to that, and wondering how you see that.
Well, my pants are made out of wool, and winter is the perfect time for wool. So it just feels like you're literally being hugged and snuggled by this, especially cashmere I love working with. So I actually do feel like it sort of, the cold, like coziness of winter kind of fits really well with, plus nobody's going to really buy these in the summertime probably. So this is going to be, winter's going to be my season for wool, and summer will be my landscape season, I guess.
Yeah. Although I will say, as somebody who has used, you know, I love when they'll let me putting my children in wool. And I feel like it is actually a great winter fabric. It's just not often, a great summer fabric too, but maybe I'm getting,
I'm
delusional.
No, you're right. You're right. I actually should put a plug in for that, because people think of it as more winter, but it's really breathable. Mm-hmm. And I do put my kiddos in little like wool shorties, you know, in the summer, or just a diaper cover with a t-shirt is really cute summer attire. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. I'm just saying, like, when you're ready to make adult like bloomers, you know.
Right? I'm like, there's some cool cashmere bloomers coming your way after this.
Yes.
After this.
I will feature them on my shop. So you let me know. But yeah, no, I think it's super cool. And actually I hadn't really thought about that. You know, I'm kind of thinking about the energy of producing what you're creating right now, but you're right. Like when I think about the materials that you're working with, I imagine it is really, cozy to be in that space. So that's really fun and kind of cool to imagine like what you were describing, that you could in the current season of life that you're in, that you could have, you know, the winter time to really be focused on fuzzy wool, and then move into the spring and summer and really be shifting focus into the landscape design, which is neat.
Yeah, it's a nice dovetail.
So I know that we don't have too much more time, but before we wrap, I'm also kind of curious, knowing that I've already admitted that I am a forward-leaning person, to what extent do you see kind of, whether it's fuzzy wool or things even beyond that, you know, the landscape design that you're doing, like what kind of seeds do you feel like you're planting for the future, even if you don't yet know exactly what that looks like?
Yeah, well, I have thought about it, even though I try to live in the present. Yeah, I definitely have some vision.
Excellent.
So, well, I guess I feel like there's some perfect role out there for me that I will find someday, that's combining kind of my knowledge of growing things and sort of like urban growing, urban farming, urban homesteading with parenting and sewing, and I don't know. There's some like master thing that will combine all these things, and maybe like some sort of little shop that has urban homestead supplies and cloth diapering things, or whether it's just like consulting or designing, or I don't know. But I feel like there will be something that I will do that will relate all these things together.
Yes. I believe it too. And in the meantime, I just have to say, it strikes me that even though that's something that you'll do, will emerge, the thing that you are being right now so clearly to me brings all of those things together. So I feel like you have to have the being before you can do the doing anyway.
Right.
So fun.
That's good to hear.
Well, just a few more questions before we close. And the place I'll start with here is, what does it look like for you to lead a well-designed life?
Well, I guess I would say the first word that comes to mind is just balancing, like, and that doesn't mean everything has equal representation and that everything is in balance all the time, but that it really is a balancing act of one thing takes over, another thing falls away. And I just find that moving through that gracefully is such a challenge for me all the time. And when I'm trying to sort of move forward and focus on improving one aspect of my life, then often another piece kind of falls to the wayside. But sort of trying to embrace that and knowing that things have their season and that things come back again and things balance out in another way as time passes. So just I guess just trying to sort of live in that precariousness and know that it's the way things should be and the way things are.
Yeah.
Exactly. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. You are speaking my language. what if any advice would you give to people who are, whether it's a new mom or dad or somebody who is like in a full-time job, but thinking about a passion project or something else that they're kind of itching to do, what would be your advice to them if they haven't yet kind of stepped into that fear as you did?
Yeah, well, I love the way that I've heard you phrase it as just sort of start small, start doing something without sort of psyching yourself out, thinking too far down the road of all the reasons that it's not going to work, you know, because there are probably many reasons it won't work, but there are a lot of reasons it probably will too, or ways in which it will that you haven't even seen yet. So I feel like just finding that the courage to just do one little thing and then the courage to do another little thing after that, without being too much of a perfectionist about having everything worked out before you even start, because I find that then you most certainly will never start if you're intent upon having every detail figured out and all your fears allayed. So exactly. just sort of walking into it.
Spoken like a wise mom. Don't our children show us this all the time? It's like, you thought you were ready, but you didn't know. So I love that. I think that is awesome. Well, I am feeling so grateful to have had this time with you today, Clara, and just feeling inspired by all that you are holding and the path that you are walking. Will you share for our audience where they could find out more about Fuzzy Logic and you? Like, what would be the best place for them to go?
Well, now the only place to go is my Etsy shop. So I don't have my own website yet, but Etsy, it's pretty easy to find me if you just search for Fuzzy Logic Wool in the shop section. Otherwise, it's just www.etsy.com/shop/fuzzylogicwool.
Awesome.
So that is the place. That's the place to start and end for now. But
yes. Oh, and I love that, right? Because you have to start small. But right. Also, that's starting big, right? It's just like the next step. Well, I will make sure that we link to the Etsy shop. And if in the future you decide you want to launch another website, let me know. I'll add that too into the show notes so that everybody can find you that way.
Perfect.
And do you have a Facebook page? Am I making that up?
I have my own personal, but I haven't launched a Fuzzy Logic one yet.
Okay. I'm going to plant that seed when you're ready for that step, only because I am so not a Facebook guru of any kind, but what I see in your, clearly your personal feed always jumps out at me. So I'm like, I probably see I like one of my sister's posts and then I see Fuzzy Logic again. So anyway, but I will be sure to link to the Etsy shop, and I'm just grateful. So thank you for joining me today, and I wish you all the best as you set off on the many adventures that you are in the middle of.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you. Yay. I enjoyed it.
Okay, so that's a wrap for today's interview. Thank you to everyone for listening in to today's show. Before closing officially, I wanted to give you a heads up on where you can go to learn more about Fuzzy Logic Wool and other upcoming interviews for the show. For show notes, you can head over always to pointroadstudios.com/podcast to get full show notes for today's episodes. There, you can find a link to the Fuzzy Logic Wool Etsy shop and some of the references we made in the show today to people like Bea Johnson, the woman behind the Zero Waste Home blog and movement. You can also, in the show notes this week, see a picture of my sweet newborn, Ignatius, in his Fuzzy Logic Wool pants, which are just stellar. No sponsorship for that. This is just me as a mom saying I love these clothes. While you're over at the Point Road Studios site, look for the green subscribe button in the top left-hand corner. If you join our email community, you can stay up to date on interviews that are coming up and all of our content, which is aimed at spreading the design yourself spirit. As always, if you like what you heard on today's show, please help me spread the word. And there are two simple ways that you can do that. One, tell your friends about the show. So just let them know this is something they can tune into. And two, head over to iTunes and leave the show a written review. I do read every single one of these and appreciate your feedback. Like Mallory F., who submitted her review this month and said, "What I love about Sharon's personal development approach is that her advice is grounded in the stories of her real, sometimes messy life." How true, Mallory. Life is messy. She went on to say, "There's no sugarcoating or pie in the sky here. If you're looking for inspiration to deliberately realign your life with your values, Sharon's approachability is refreshing and different from many personal development podcasts out there. Highly recommend." So Mallory F., thank you for taking the time to submit a review and for that really positive and helpful feedback. And to all of you who are out there, know how much I am appreciating that you are a part of this community. And I am wishing each of you a most beautiful week, wherever you are. And until next time, please do remember that there is nothing stopping you. So go on ahead and get after whatever it is that you really want.